Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, and this is the Local Take on WCLK. Today, we will look at issues and organizations that make a positive difference in the Atlanta area. This morning, we're talking with Dr. Brian Wright about his project called Gumbo MOC, or Gumbo Males of Color. Dr. Wright, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me the impetus behind this project called Gumbo MOC.
So this work came about, this project, in large part because of an existing book that focuses on the stories of females of color, their memoirs, their stories. And this book is going to be a part of a series of books that are focusing on the lives and the experiences of people of color. For this particular project, we're interested in looking at and documenting the stories of men of color in the U.S. And we're particularly interested in this work in part because of the kinds of things that boys and men of color face in the United States. Many of them are academic-related, social, psychological, environmental kinds of things that they face. And so we're really interested in hearing from males of color who've experienced some of the things that we have learned through research, things that we've learned through anecdotal kinds of experiences in terms of the disproportionate rates of suspension and expulsion that happens for males of color as early as preschool, the overrepresentation of boys in general, males of color in particular, and Black and Latino males especially in special education, and the fact that they're also underrepresented in gifted education. We're also sort of looking at things that sort of happen to them out in the world when they don't necessarily have access and opportunity to the kinds of things that a quality education should bring. And so later on in their lives, we see disparities in terms of high rates of unemployment, which lead them to economic hardship and adverse sort of health conditions. And unfortunately, in some cases, resulting in exposure to or defaulting to substance abuse, and other kinds of things. We're also looking at the kinds of things that have been happening with males of color historically with regard to policing in Black and brown communities. And so all of those sort of social position factors serve as the impetus for why this book is important and why it's important that we hear from males of color, because frequently their voices are often missing from these bodies of literature that exist on their experiences. And so who better to talk about these issues other than males of color who are the experts on their own lives?
So you almost answered my second question, which was, you know, why is this so important for males of color in our community and across our country to be involved in this type of work? And for people who don't know, you know, when you use documenting stories and, you know, it's an academic project, how do everyday men feel being involved in this type of undertaking?
So I think that's a really good question. And I want to underscore that we are intentional about the fact that we sort of wrote the call for chapters in a particular kind of way. We've been disseminating the call in a variety of different social media venues, and I personally have met with males of color in Greater Memphis, in part because we don't want it to come across as a distilled academic sort of endeavor that may be intimidating for everyday males of color who have compelling stories to tell and may feel, may have trepidation around actually writing down those stories and may also not feel that they are good writers, et cetera. And so we want to make sure that we open up this sort of opportunity, this publishing opportunity for them to share their stories by providing as much sort of scaffolding as we possibly can. And so in those conversations with everyday men who are in a variety of different cross sections of our communities, whether they're in academia, whether they are in government kinds of positions, private or public sector, we want to hear their stories because we're reminding them that it's important that we focus on what are the promises, the potential, and the possibilities of males of color, and what are their strengths, what are their assets that are often mired and ignored in a hyper-focus on what they're not. And so we often get from other people about us that we're somehow broken, that we are that we're often filtered from a deficit perspective, which are informed by a variety of different stereotypes, whether it's criminal-minded, engaged in violence, anti-intellectual. So we're pushing back against these destructive and problematic narratives because in doing so, we are playing up or accentuating the ways in which African-American males, Latino males, Asian American males, Native American males, et cetera, every day negotiate and navigate spaces and places and figure out ways to find success. And so this book, though being published by an academic publisher, is really designed in a way that we go beyond simply folk who are perhaps academics or doctors, lawyers, et cetera. We want to hear from other people as well, because I think there's something to be said about when you line up all of those stories, they provide a compelling reason for why it's important for other people to hear our stories. And I think to point out in our call, we reference the song sung by Angie Stone called Brother. And so if you know those lyrics, we highlight one in particular where she talks about he's misunderstood. Some say he's up to no good around the neighborhood. Well, for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. And then she goes on to say, now check it. You've got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, your talented brother, and to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you. And so I think we're trying to encapsulate the diversity within the kinds of experiences and positions and places and spaces where males of color reside. And so we want to tap into that often untapped brilliance that we know resides in males of color.
So for our listeners who are interested in participating, they're hearing this clarion call and they want to have their words as part of this collection. How do they get involved with this publication?
So we have multiple ways. And so one in particular is if they're on Facebook, it's been disseminated widely via Facebook. We also have an email address that they can actually send any sort of inquiries to actually get the call if they're not on any form of social media, Twitter. And so that email address, I can give it to you now if you're ready.
Yes.
So in all capital letters, it's the word gumbo, G-U-M-B-O, the letter M as in Mary, O as in octopus, C as in car, at gmail.com. So it's gumbo, M-O-C, and the M-O-C is for males of color, at gmail.com. They should also know that once they email us there, we can provide them a website that has been created by Dr. Michael Robinson of Force of the Rain Productions. And so at that website, they can find out more information about all of the co-editors. They can learn about what are the expectations for an ideal chapter to be submitted. So we provided some writing tips on things that they should include in their chapter. We also provide sample chapters from the existing female of color Gumbo for the Soul book, which gives them a sense of the kind of sort of form and function and tone of the chapter, and any other kinds of information that they want to know about the project is posted on that website. So if they email gumbomoc@gmail.com requesting either the call and the website link, they can learn more about this opportunity. And the deadline for submitting all manuscripts is August 1st, 2017.
And Dr. Wright, before I let you go, because we're going to also be talking with Dr. Michael Robinson, but before I let you go, could you share with our listeners a little bit about your background and why you are participating in this project?
Absolutely. So again, my name is Brian Wright. I am a professor at the University of Memphis in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm originally from Virginia, and much of my time has been up and down the Eastern Seaboard, but my own dissertation research now 11 years ago focused in large part on looking at high-achieving African-American males in urban schools. And so I was particularly interested in urban schools in part because we often sort of talk about urban centers as sources of pathology. And we're left asking the question, can any good thing, if you will, come out of urban communities? And so my work seeks to push back against and to provide evidence that absolutely, and that when we focus too much on what Black males in particular are not, we've ignored an entire group that are doing very well on both in and outside of schools, et cetera, and they're making a difference in their communities, et cetera. So I come to this work in part because I'm an African-American male, because of my own research and my interest in changing the narrative that tends to be the dominant narrative on this population, and so creating counter stories whenever I can. And in addition to this project, I'm also working on another book that's coming out very soon that's going to be published by Teachers College Press at Columbia University. And the title of the book is Focusing on African-American Boys, Pre-K, Third Grade, and it's Fostering a Healthy Self-Identity and Agency in African-American Boys. And so while this particular project that we're working on now is looking at adult males of color, it's important that we understand that it starts early and it starts in early childhood. And so the point of my book is not to sort of the other book on boys. It's not to, again, reify the narrative of what they're not, but to talk about we can't really understand Black boys devoid of their context. It's important that we understand that we not continue to locate problems and pathology with the boy themselves, because that lets off institutions and society from taking their responsibility. And so this book is an opportunity to celebrate the assets and the strengths, and it's a challenge to education communities and society to take another look and look again at the everyday assets and strengths that we certainly know, and I say we, communities of color, particularly Black communities, that reside in our Black boys.
Dr. Brian White, I want to thank you so much for that information. And we're going to continue and bring in Dr. Mike Robinson. Thank you again for Gumbo MOC.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we're talking about Gumbo MOC. And joining us now is Dr. Mike Robinson. Dr. Robinson, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on your show today.
Tell our listeners why this project, Gumbo MOC, is so important to you.
Well, I think I can probably best answer that question by reading a quote from one of my colleagues. I think it speaks volumes, and it certainly carries my sentiment. Dr. Nathaniel Bryan writes, "Gumbo for the Soul is a departure from the deficit-based ideologies and narratives about males of color. It purports to let men of color speak by centering experiences of struggles, victories, and triumphs. It serves to challenge the status quo by naming structural and institutional barriers which contribute to the demise of men of color across the nation." Basically, this book is important to me because it allows us, people who look like me, people who look like you, men of color, to share our stories. Because right now, somewhere, sitting at a Starbucks, looking out a window, is a person who does not look like me, like your father, like your brother, like your nephew, like your son, who's writing our narrative. This book allows us to write our own narrative, our own way, share our victories, share our triumphs, and inspire other men of color to overcome and beat the odds they face on a daily basis.
One of the quotes, and this is an anonymous quote, but it says, "If you want to know a culture, learn their stories. If you want to change a culture, change the story." So is Gumbo MOC attempting to change the story?
No, I don't look at it that way. I see it as a way to realign our stories, to reaffirm our stories, to reconnect our stories. Our stories are there, and they're written in ways that are not honest, legitimate to our experiences, because they're not written by us. This is the way to reclaim, to recapture our history, our perspectives, and to set a tone and create an establishment and a generation of readers and men of color to come after us to know that we can beat odds, because there are no books written about the victories of men of color, triumphs, and how we overcome and beat odds. So this is a way to reaffirm what we do and what we see on a daily basis that we have, others would say don't exist, has never existed, and it's impossible for it to ever exist. And we're saying that's not true. Our stories speak for themselves, and let us tell them to you.
So what you're saying is we tell our stories, we can demolish the myths.
Absolutely. We can change this false narrative that exists, that's out there, that has been issued, published, distributed in any way you want to say, shape, form, or fashion via a variety of media outlets that says this and this and this about men of color. And we're saying that once we tell our story and we share our story, we're not sharing it in a whisper, but we're speaking it loudly, proudly, and in the united front, that this will by all means change the narrative, rewrite, debunk the myth, as you call it.
Because it seems that, improbable as it seems, the myths in our country seem to outlast the real history and the real truth. How did we get in this situation where other people are telling our stories on a regular basis?
It just became a comfortable situation for a lot of us to believe that once one of us made it, the landscape was fair. It was leveled, and we were able to just think that, okay, Mike made it, we're all going to make it. And it's not the case. And we allow others to hijack our stories, to make profits off our stories, to benefit from our stories, and they have done that. Too often, we don't value our stories. We don't think they have value. But other cultures see the value in our stories. They see the value in creating a myth about who we are and what we do and what we're capable of doing. And they also see the benefits of absorbing our stories and making them a part of what they do and benefit from it. We haven't let all that go because we believe we made it, and we have not. We've gotten crumbs from the table, but by sharing our stories and our victories and what we can do and what we have done, empowers us, enlightens us, energizes us, encourages us, and gives us the strength to move mountains. And we have been too comfortable letting other people supposedly move mountains for us and write our stories the way they want to write our stories and control our media perceptions. And this book is just a speck in the process, but it's a big speck in a lot of ways of changing that narrative. It's a companion book to a book that was written late last year, and the second volume of that book is coming out, Gumbo, for Females of Color. And this is a companion book. We are going to change this narrative about the people of color and our successes and how we overcome a variety of obstacles that most nations of people could never overcome. And we're going to sing it loudly, we're going to sing it proudly, and we're going to sing it consistently and forever.
Dr. Robinson, as you continue to emphasize the word story, I'm reminded of that cultural African word, griot. And in that culture, that person was, you know, lifted high. The storyteller, you know, had the history of the community, always told stories, you know, to entertain and also to explain. How did we get so far away from that cultural root?
And I wish I had the answer, but just from my own perspective and history, it just became a situation where we were just comfortable of dividing the family, families didn't stay together, and our stories became not so important anymore. And, oh, that was back in the day, and it's not like that anymore, Dad. You know, I sit in the classroom next to students who don't look like me, and we're all nice, and they enjoy our music, and they understand us, and we have come to just absorb and assimilate cultures that do not value, respect, understand, want to understand our culture. And the things that we had valued, have established as value, have been just pushed aside, and society has seen that, oh, that's not important. Your granddad telling you these great stories, that's not significant. There's no value in that. And we have allowed people to change and our beliefs. And we're saying by writing our stories, sharing our story, we're beginning to recapture that sentiment, that storytelling, sharing our victories is a part of our culture. It's what we have always done, and we are going back to our roots. And no one, no set of people, no government whatsoever will stop us from sharing who we are, what we are, and instilling a sense of pride and power into our young people. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it via the pen, and we're going to continue to share our story. We're going to recapture that history of sharing and enlightening and empowering our storytellers by telling the stories.
Is this important to you to serve as an archive? So, you know, 20 years from now, this academic publication filled with these stories from men of color will still stand?
It's important. It's a legacy. It's the beginning of a pathway to empowering young people. People who are not even born, young babies who are just in their mom's arms, in their dad's arms. We want to make sure this legacy exists, but we know it begins with a first step. And this book would be a book among many. It may inspire other people to write a different version of these stories. It may inspire people to make this a course of study. It may work with young men and young woman somewhere who's sitting there thinking, how can I overcome this issue of homelessness? And there's a story there. There's a story where people have overcome that, and they can do it. It is not doom and gloom. We can overcome it. We have overcome a great deal, and no one can tell us we haven't. And for those who have tried and those who are sitting in Starbucks right now, and I probably shouldn't say that particular brand, are sitting somewhere sipping on their latte trying to write our stories, you may as well put your pens down, because we're going to write the right story, the true story, the correct narrative. We're changing and recapturing our history.
Dr. Robinson, share with our listeners just a little bit of your background and why this project is a passion for you. We can hear it in your voice.
I was a young man raised by a mom. I wouldn't call her a single mom. I had a stepfather who was verbally and physically abusive, but he was certainly was not a role model. But despite that, I had a great role model in my mom. And she instilled in me pride and respect for women and a commitment to my community because that's where she lived. And I want to give that legacy to my children, but I just can't talk about it. I have to be about it. I have to lead by example. And that's what I'm trying to do. This book is passionate for me because it's going to set a tone. It's going to create a legacy for my children, other children. And it's going to let people know that there's nothing wrong with sharing our stories. Yes, we have hiccups. We have to overcome some hurdles. And we've done that. You can do it. We all do it. And there's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to give up. You don't have to go down that path. And I want to share that with young people. I spent my life working with young people from my days in working in alternative schools to working in Job Corps to working at community colleges. I have spent my life working with young people. But more importantly, my organization, I work on focusing on expanding the voices of those who are seldom heard. Well, who is probably the least heard? Men of color. Men of color who have a story to tell that's positive, uplifting, and can change a community. And I am proud to be part of an opportunity to expand their voices.
Well, I am proud to amplify you all's clarion call. We've talked with Dr. Wright and now with Dr. Robinson. And I'm going to give that email address again, gumbomoc@gmail.com, to get all the information that you need to participate in this call for chapters.
Or you can visit the website at www.gumbofortheSoulMenOfColorAtWeebly.com.
That's www.gumbofortheSoulOfMenOfColor.
Yes.
At Weebly.com.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Dr. Robinson.
Thank you for having me. God bless you. Peace and love.
Take care. Thanks for listening to The Local Take on WCLK this morning. Special thanks to our guests for taking their time to speak with us. You can find many of these interviews posted online for on-demand listening at WCLK.com. If you want to recommend a community leader or nonprofit organization you would like to see featured on The Local Take, you can leave a voicemail on the WCLK Community Engagement Line at 404-880-6211, or you can email me at KiplinPrimus@gmail.com. Good morning.